broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University broadcast studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. And today, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting our entire show from CPAC 2020 here in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. And I can tell you there are literally hundreds and hundreds of people walking around, hanging out, having a great time we hear from some of the most important conservative voices in America. And folks, we're just excited to be able to bring you some great guests this hour of the program. Congressman Ron Estes from Kansas is going to be here. Diamond and Silk a little bit later on. Deneen Borelli, you see her on Fox News Channel. And also our good friend from Liberty University, former Congressman Dave Brat is in the hot seat today.
All right.
Congressman, good to see you.
Great to be on, brother.
We're a corona-free zone here, by the way.
That's good.
We thought about erecting, like, I don't know, a FEMA tent.
Right.
Yes, who knows? I want to ask you about that because Don Trump Jr. is making some headlines earlier. He was on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
And he said that the that it's as if the Democrats are wishing the pandemic would hit America so it would take down Donald Trump. And, you know, as horrible as that sounds, I think that is really the truth.
Yeah. Well, Pelosi this morning, and they're getting all political and partisan, whatever. And the irony of ironies is this is the first president in 30 years who's gone to war against China before it was a popular thing to do. And so now we've got a supply chain problem. Our Harvard MBA geniuses didn't learn finance 101. So we got 85% of our pharmaceuticals being made, manufactured in China. What could go wrong? Right at Liberty, the first semester student learned don't put all your eggs in one basket. Right. Diversification, just basic stuff. And so President Trump there as well is the first one to put up a fight against globalization, a misplaced, misallocated globalization where we have not kept an American manufacturing footprint here. And now we have risk beyond risk. Our health system is fine. This virus probably wouldn't be that threatening if you had our shiny hospitals with the drugs. But without the drugs, we'll see. So is it a month, 3 months, 6 months supply chain problem? We'll find out.
And that does have a lot of folks concerned. And again, the point is not necessarily the virus, but it is the broken supply chain.
Yep.
Mike Cernovich, we had him on the show a couple of days ago, and he wrote a column about that. And, you know, I never, up until that point, Congressman, I never really even thought about that as being big issue here.
Yep. Yeah, no one has. And, you know, our friends in sub-Saharan Africa, China's coming after them with billion-dollar dams and highways and infrastructure. And now, you know, only China Air is flying in and they're having issues. And so I think the whole world's going to realign, recalculate, recalibrate. Who are your true friends? And so in the U.S., at CPAC here, the conservatives kind of understand there's a paradox with freedom. You have to have the rule of law and private property rights, et cetera, in place to be free. And at the international level, we set that up post-World War II with the Bretton Woods system and all the institutions. But China's bucking the trend. And now our firms, in order to get their last nickel, their last dollar of profits, they're chasing China and they're following the rules of the game set by communist China instead of by the United States. And that's a problem.
We just had Rick Harrison, the guy from Pawn Stars, on the show.
Good.
Great guy, businessman, big Trump supporter.
Yep.
And he says, you know, one of the big challenges here in this country is finding good help.
Yeah.
You know, people that want to get out there and find a job.
Right. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to God put me at Liberty University after my political career. And the kids there, industry's coming our way. The average university out right there is having a case of entitlement on steroids across the country. Liberty kids like to serve God. They like to serve their country. They like to serve the firm. They come in early. They stay late. They got a good attitude, good work ethic. And so our star is rising.
So, you know, going back to Liberty University, you guys have launched that Falkirk Center.
Yeah.
It's getting a lot of traction.
Yep.
And I know you guys have a booth here.
Yeah.
What has been the reception of the work of the Falkirk Center thus far?
Yeah, well, it's great. You know, the traditional think tanks aren't thrilling the kids and the younger generation. And so, you know, I don't think we need more white papers, but you need the substance of white papers. And then Charlie Kirk has all these young influencers with millions of folks following them. And so Charlie's got a real gift to hit the market at the right level. And so we take, you know, high-end thought and, you know, it's faith. The Falkirk Center is devoted to faith and freedom. So you take those first American principles, boil them down, make them interesting. And we got millions of kids coming now to take a look at Liberty University and to take a look at the Christian faith and to take a look at the founding principles. And President Falwell sometimes says, you know, we're doing Jesus and Jefferson. And that's a good summary.
I think that's a great compare. Yeah. That is a great summary of what you guys are doing. You know, the politics is the name of the game here at CPAC. And I'm pretty impressed with the excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah.
This battle of socialism versus capitalism.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, Bernie, people ask, you know, is this the logic of the Democratic Party? And it is. The logic, there's no upper bound on taxes that you've ever heard from a Democrat. Like, that's too much.
Right.
There's no upper bound on budget spending. No one on the Democrat side has ever said there's a limit to Santa Claus. And so you ask, what's the governing principle? And it's socialism.
Yeah.
And then you just look at the order of things. I mean, you hate to compare things to Venezuela, but really, you got Charlie Kirk working on freedom of speech issues at universities across the country because it's under attack. You got a gun grab going on in Virginia. That's your Second Amendment. Religion is gone from K-12 and most higher ed and most public conversation in the public square. And those are the big three, right? I mean, religion, your personal freedoms, your guns, and then the socialists and the communists, they just, you know, trust us. Give us your rights for 30 years, and we promise you nirvana, and you don't get it.
It's going to be the battle.
Yeah.
The battle.
It is.
It's going to be pretty intense.
Yep.
But I'm glad we're having it, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I am, too. It's time.
All right. Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there.
Great.
Always great to see you.
No, you too. Thanks, John.
I told Harrison that he was the hardest working man here. I don't know. You may be.
I've been hustling.
20 interviews.
Yep.
Jeez, Alou.
Yep. Go Liberty. Go Falkirk.
All right. Dave Bratt, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Look, we've got to take a break, pay some bills here. ToddStarnes.com, by the way, folks, our website, great place for you to get our newsletter and also our free podcast. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show from Washington, D.C.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are here live in Washington, D.C. at CPAC 2020, and this is the coronavirus-free zone right here, ladies and gentlemen. We should probably get, I don't know, our staff was talking about getting MAGA masks, Congressman Ron Estes, but we probably don't want to profit off of a national calamity. So, Congressman Ron Estes is here in the hot seat from the great state of Kansas, one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill. And Congressman, I understand you're going to be speaking. You'll be a part of a panel here at CPAC. First of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
And I have to brag on Mrs. Estes, who is known around Washington, D.C. as giving some of the best tours of the Capitol building out there.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, both of us are political related and interested, and obviously she really loves the history of the country, and she's done a great job.
It was a fascinating tour. Learned all sorts of great stuff. So so let's talk about this panel you guys are going to be a part of, talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah. So, but actually, a lot of what we want to talk about today is just how much craziness is coming out of the Democrat majority talking about Second Amendment and in general, all of the rights that we have and all of the things that government has. And so they come up with all these nice sounding bills, you know, even the violence against women bill or the, you know, enhanced background check bill that don't sound threatening in any way. But actually, they go out and they attack our personal liberties, attack our freedoms. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're less safe with what they're doing. Instead of trying to look at what can we do to make some common sense changes to help make sure that we move the country forward. One of the things that I'm proud of is my first co-sponsored bill when I came into Congress in 2017 was the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Bill. And so it's an avenue where states have given concealed carry permits and allow people to carry from one state to another, make sure that they can protect themselves.
Is Kansas a big pro-gun state?
You know, it really is. I mean, we have, in our state, we have a lot of folks that actually like to hunt. We have a lot of folks that live in rural areas. We have a lot of folks, even if you live in a suburban area, you're interested in hunting, you're interested in sports shooting. And so it is a good sport that people like to take care of and they like to participate in. And so it's one of those things that we need to protect as one of our freedoms.
You know, of course, Kansas being the heartland big farming state as well. What did you say when you heard about Bloomberg's comments, taking that pretty nasty crack against farmers?
So it's really shame for some supposedly intelligent person like that. I mean, just because he lives in a city all his life and lives off his billions, to talk about other Americans as being unintelligent. And particularly when you look at the technology that's available today and actually has to be used today in the farming community. When we have tractors and combines that cost $400,000 or $500,000 because they're integrated with GPS, they're integrated so that as you're running a combine through a cornfield, you're actually calculating how many bushels you're getting as you're moving through the field. So you can track your yield, you can track where you need to water, where you need to fertilizer, so that we don't waste those good natural resources. And to have Bloomberg talk about incompetence the way he did really reflects his lack of knowledge about what really happens.
You know, Congressman, I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee, in the South and the Mid-South, and I've been in New York City for about 15 years, and I've come to realize that most of the folks that live on the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side, everything beyond the Hudson River is a vast wilderness.
That's right. That's right.
They don't know any. They don't
That's
think right. the rest of us exists.
Yeah, that old New Yorker cartoon that had Manhattan and then a little picture of California out, and the rest of it was emptiness.
The vast wilderness.
That's right. That's right. The heartland of America, they just flat out ignore.
Yeah, they really do, and it really is this idea of, you know, the flyover states. And I think that's one of the reasons, and maybe you can weigh in on this as well. Do you think that's one of the reasons why President Trump has been so successful in places like Kansas and in the Deep South?
Yeah, when you look at the political elitist, the establishment on the business side, even to some degree, that they flat out ignore so much of our country. And they hang out with folks that think like they do, talk like they do, and at the end of the day, they don't expand their knowledge. And so they have no visibility. When you look at how shocked Hillary Clinton was that there are people in America that didn't want to vote for her, and at the end of the, as a result, we end up having President Trump, who's actually working for a broad cross-section of America as opposed to just a few folks and some special interests.
You know, I remember back, you know, on election night, I was at the Fox News corner of the world. There was just pandemonium on the plaza. But there were a lot of people inside our building that were just as shocked. And again, I just, you know, I think the mainstream media completely misread, you know, the American people and the electorate. Do you think they're going to do it again?
Yeah, I think part of it is the way people live their lives today, and they focus on hanging around with people that think like they do, talk like they do, and don't want to engage in different thought process. And unfortunately, to some degree, it's gotten to the point where if you don't share somebody's opinion, that they demonize you, and they look at that. And so that's one of those things that I think is going to come down. And when you look at the Democrat candidates and what they're doing, that it's that kind of same mentality over and over again. And we're actually going to look at President Trump probably expanding his delegate count, his electoral college vote this time.
I'm predicting a landslide. And if it's Bernie or one of the other socialists, I think we're going to have a good night on election night. Real quick, I do want to ask you, the coronavirus issue, a lot of people are freaking out. The president, I'm pretty happy that Mike Pence is the vice president is in charge of the task force. But the bigger issue is not necessarily the virus, as Congressman Dave Brat just told us. He believes it's the break in the supply chain that's coming.
Right. I mean, that's the concern. And that's why, as you focus on some virus like this in the process, is you want to make sure you get it contained as soon as possible because it continues to grow and move forward. You know, it's not as deadly as the SARS virus or the MERS virus that were out several years ago. It is a little bit, it seems to be a little bit more deadly than the common flu. But when we look back and we look at just last 6 months in the United States, there have been between 20 and 30,000 people that have died from the regular flu that happens every season. So we want to make sure that we continue to push forward with how do we make sure the medical and health care issues are addressed, but also make sure that we can continue to keep the economy going because there's been so much positive out of it.
No, you're absolutely right. And real quick, back to this Second Amendment panel you're on. When you look at, I think you're absolutely right that we need to be very concerned about these Democrats and the fancy, cute names they're giving these bills, especially in light of what's happening in the Commonwealth of Virginia right now, where the Democrats, if they had their preference, would outlaw guns altogether.
It's really sad the way how bad a turn it's taken in Virginia from a state standpoint, and what they're trying to do legislatively with the legislators and the governor in terms of attacking individual rights. And it's just been a terrible consequence out of that election last fall.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, Congressman, always good to have you swing by. And I'm a big fan of Wichita. Great town you guys have there.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to you
all
over
right.
here.
Congressman Ron Estes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the good guys up on Capitol Hill, a congressman out of the great state of Kansas. And Congressman, thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, folks. Look, we're going to be taking a break here in just a few moments. But before we do that, I wanted to explain to you the changes that we're making on our live stream. You are now able to listen to the live stream directly on our website, toddstearns.com. It doesn't cost you any money at all. It's free of charge. All you have to do is go to the website, and you can listen to the live stream of the show. Now, some of you might say, well, wait a second. If I can't listen to you live, is there another place where we can get the show? Yes, the answer is very simple. Yes, you can. It is the Todd Starnes Show podcast. That is a free service as well. All 3 hours, commercial free of the radio show, available on our podcast. ToddStearns.com/live. Again, that's ToddStearns.com/live if you would like to check out the live stream of the Todd Starnes radio program. All right, our telephone number, toll-free, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up, our good friends, Diamond and Silk and Deneen Borelli. It's, folks, we're going to end with a bang. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are broadcasting live from CPAC 2020. And I don't know what just happened, but call screener Avery was festivities here at CPAC.
Oh, yeah.
Just that spirit of excitement and,
yes.
Just camaraderie, I guess.
Absolutely.
That's
people,
good.
Listen, I'm just, it's a place where conservative gather, like-minded people gather. If you haven't been to CPAC, you need to make plans to come next year.
That's
you need
right.
to make plans to come.
So, Diamond and Silk, rock stars here at CPAC. What was your reaction to the response you guys have gotten so far?
Well, you know, we were here last year, so we already know that, you know, we have a lot of fans and followers here. This year has been so amazing.
Incredible.
We were able to speak, and it was just beautiful. The energy was beautiful. Everything was beautiful.
And then yesterday at the White House.
I know. So listen, as soon as we got off stage from CPAC, they whisk us into a truck and they take us right over to the White House. And you know, Todd, there's nothing like having a seat at the table.
That's right.
Especially as a black woman.
Yes.
As black women, we had a seat at the table. We wasn't out there burning down our communities,
but we
had a seat at the table with the most powerful man in the world talking about solutions.
And at the same time, you had the folks at CNN, the most profane name in news, going out there and attacking black supporters of the president.
Oh,
they said, shame on you.
Right.
And another CNN contributor said the guy, or one of the individuals said that President Trump was the first black president. He called that guy an Uncle Tom.
Absolutely. And also called us some nasty names. Called us some clowns or something, or something that they said. And we saw it. And it's you know what? They are afraid.
That's right.
They are afraid because black people are waking up. And what's Uncle Thomish and foolish is voting for the same system that keeps handing you crumbs.
That's right.
Voting for liberals to have your neighborhoods rat infested.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's Uncle Thomish and what's foolery and clownery to us.
Yeah. But see, you can call me any name that you want. The deal is you can't name me because I know who I am. I know where my power lies. And my power lies with me thinking for myself, being independent for myself, and not being government dependent on somebody else who can control me.
That's right.
So if you can call me whatever you want, but you won't call me dumb, or you won't call me ignorant, and you won't call me foolish for voting for the same system that hadn't done nothing for black folks.
That's right.
You know, we earlier in the show we had someone from the opportunity from the White House. They're promoting these opportunity zones.
Yes,
that are predominantly helping African American communities.
Absolutely,
right.
Building back up the communities.
Yes.
You know, the left, they don't want to talk about that. As a matter of fact, the left do not talk about any of the good things that President Trump is doing because they don't want people to know. They want to create the narrative, carry the narrative, to disparage and disrespect this president.
That's right.
But this president is the man for all people.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that we love, black people, this time we didn't get left behind.
That's right.
He included. Look, at that table, around that table yesterday, it wasn't none but black people. It wasn't none but black people up in there.
Yeah.
And that does my heart some good because that wouldn't have never happened up under the Obama administration.
Mm-mm.
Average black Americans, people that have been let out of jail.
Yes.
Has been given a second chance sitting there around the table.
That's right.
That wouldn't have happened up under Obama because Obama was so concerned about the elites.
Uh-huh.
He was not concerned about the average American
Obama
person.
Had the Jay-Z's and the Beyoncé's. Donald Trump had the diamond and the silver.
I love that.
But it's true. I mean, look at the historically about black colleges and universities. It was President Trump who mandated that funding be permanent.
Absolutely, and gave millions more than any other president in the history of our country.
That's right.
And you would think everybody that goes to a HBCU, you would think you would vote for President Donald J. Trump that helped you because Obama cut funding.
He didn't
give funding like that to the HBCUs.
You know, here's what I see about President Trump. He's built this coalition of folks that have been marginalized. And, you know, people like I come from a blue-collar working class family.
Mm-hmm.
We were marginalized.
Wow.
You've seen other people groups around the country marginalized.
Right.
Democrats have done the same thing to Hispanics and blacks.
That's right.
And Trump is embracing everybody and saying, you
Absolutely.
Know what? Let's make America great again.
Yes. He
but
is.
With Democrats,
ahead.
They know that if they can try to write legislations or put measures in place that will victimize you, that's what they need to do. What they do is create victims so that they can find all of these problems and then they throw money at these problems so they can get rich off the top of these problems, leaving you still stuck at the bottom with the same problem. That's been the same status quo for years after years after years. It's time for us all to wake up and realize with President Donald J. Trump, all he sees is one color, and that's green, and he wants everybody to have something.
That's right.
Period.
He likes you guys. I don't
we
know if you picked
him.
Up on that.
We love him.
We love him.
Yes.
Listen, Todd, I'm telling you, he's just a man for the people.
All people.
I wish people will understand. He is. Listen, I said it once and I'll say it again. Back in the day, you had ballers, shot callers, black rappers, black ball players. Everybody want to be like Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You name me one black man that ever wanted to be like a Joe Biden or a Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody wanted to be like Donald J. Trump.
That's right.
So he emulates something that I think our men are missing and they need.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that wasn't that didn't have the fathers in the home because Bill Clinton made sure that they were locked up.
That's true. Right.
You know? He's a man.
I love it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hey, we had a good time last night.
Yes, we did.
So I took the team out poor Avery the Cosker, and he only had pretzels yesterday. That's all he could eat. So we had to take the guy out to eat. He's like skinny. He eats like a bean. So we took him to the David Burke's place over at Trump International. He ate like half a cow and had the that bacon on the...
I've had that delicious. I think I had the skinless chicken, the little skinless chicken that they like sort of brown and sort of fry, but don't really fry with the vegetables up underneath. It was so delicious. If you all hadn't tried, go over there and try it.
Yes.
Delicious.
It's amazing. But beyond that, you guys were at, we sort of ran into each other at the restaurant.
Yes.
And ladies, you looked stunning.
Oh, thank
absolutely
you so much.
Beautiful.
Thank
that dress.
You.
Oh, silk dress. Oh, my word.
She was working it yesterday,
nobody
wasn't she?
Nobody even knew that Trump was in the room.
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. You know, that was just God, because I was actually supposed to go upstairs, change clothes, and we were supposed to be here, but everything, we had to jump in the car right after we got off stage. So, hey, I just stayed dialed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I did.
Two great, awesome, wonderful, patriotic ladies.
Thank
you all so much. Diamond and Soul.
Thank you for having us.
All right, folks, we got to take a quick break here. Diamond and Soul have to scoot out. But, folks, we have a lot more coming your way. This is the Todd Starnes Show live from CPAC.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Really is sort of like, I don't know, summer camp, and you get to meet all the people that you haven't seen all year, and you get to hang out and have a meal with them, and it's just sort of like a homecoming, I guess, here at CPAC 2020. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back. We are broadcasting here on Radio Row, and it's always a fun time when Diamond and Silk are able to drop by. Just great ladies from North Carolina. We're going to have to get them back over to KWAM in Memphis when we get back home to Tennessee and show them around Beale Street. So look, folks, also honored to have a longtime friend, Janine Borelli. You've seen her so many times on Fox News Channel, one of the great minds in this country, conservative minds. And Janine, great to have you with us.
You are most kind. Thank you so much, Todd.
Oh, you and your husband, Tom, are always just, I always enjoyed our conversations in the green room.
Yes.
And y'all are good folks, good
Thank
people.
Thank you. So are you.
So look, congratulations, because you were at the White House yesterday for that really beautiful and historic day. This president is really doing something, building this big tent Republican Party.
It's amazing to watch. First of all, I've been doing this for many, many years, and I could count on one hand how many black conservatives were out there and were vocal and weren't afraid to take the arrows, because you're going to get called all kinds of names because Democrats want to shut you down. They don't want you talking about success and personal responsibility and lower taxes. No, no, no. This president has changed the dynamic. And so the question to black voters when he was running was, what do you have to lose? And now it's, what have you gained? Because we're looking at record numbers across the board. Unemployment, home ownership, wages are up. There are more jobs and people to fill them. So this president is looking out for all Americans, but he especially focused on black Americans.
I was watching a movie the other night. I believe the name of it was called Virginia. And it was about this woman who really fought for the school systems for school change in Washington, D.C., and going up against the power structure, which was black and white, but Democrats. And here you have this president that's out there fighting for African-American communities, fighting for schools.
Right.
Is that resonating in the African-American community?
It is resonating, and especially if you watch the State of the Union. The president laid out everything to all Americans, but he was especially targeting black voters, from the Tuskegee Airman that was in the audience with his grandson, to the young girl that now has a hopeful future because her education will be paid for because of charter school and school choice. So what he is doing is turning what the Democrats have done for many, many years on its head when you talk about black voters, because black voters have been taken advantage of for many, many years with the lies from Democrats. And you only see these politicians, I call them drive-by politicians. They only come around when it's election time. But where are they in the meantime when the black voters want to talk to them and have that FaceTime?
It's a fair question, and it troubles me, being from Memphis. You know, that is there's a lot of racial tension in that city, and there are people there that are wanting to try to fix that. But it's as if there are political forces at work trying to divide us, and that frustrates me, and it really angers me to some extent, because I think that is a moral issue, and it is repugnant what the Democrats are trying to do, playing the race card and trying to divide us. I think, give the president credit, he's trying to unite all people.
It's up to folks to push back on that nonsense and rhetoric. I don't care what they call me. I've been doing this for a long time, like I said. But it comes down to where you stand, and it comes down to freedom, and it comes down to folks just standing up. This is why the coalition, the Trump coalition, is opening these offices across the country, 15 offices. It was announced yesterday. Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Because we have boots on the ground, and we're going to make that FaceTime with the voters and talk about the accomplishments, because the anti-Trump media will not do that.
No, I think, look, I think this is terrific. You know, Senator Tim Scott was out there saying that he believes the president is going to get a pretty good solid percentage of the black vote this year. What do you say about that?
I think so as well. And if you look at Rasmussen reports, for example, they have his total black approval as high as 40%. So these
40%.
Numbers as high as 40%. These numbers are staggering, and you're going to see the Democrats playing the race card. They're already resurrecting Russia, right? Because they have nothing else, Todd. Nothing else.
No, they are going to. You're absolutely right about that. I was watching Mayor Pete at his town hall meeting in South Carolina. All of you saw that. It was painful as this guy was trying to identify with, you know, like, I'm like, dude, what? Just sit down, Pete. Sit down, Mayor.
Take
Pete.
A number.
Unbelievable. So, what is the strategy, though? You guys are going out there. You're visiting towns and communities. What are you hearing from folks around the country?
Just here at CPAC, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me. First of all, to thank me for what I do, but also how much they support President Trump. And these are black voters of all ages, Todd, which is great to see. So the folks are being more vocal about where they stand. They're not afraid to not be vocal with their support of President Trump, because they're seeing firsthand the results. And that is what it comes down to. What do you have to bring to the table? The president has brought so much to the table that it's just great for the country.
All right. Denise, where can folks go to get more information about what you do?
Sure. DeneseBorelli.com. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Oh, I follow you and all that.
I know you do.
That's good stuff.
Thank you.
Great tweets out there. Jeez, hello. Hey, look, the president's going to be speaking tomorrow. The level of excitement here at CPAC, and I know you've been to these before. What's it like this year?
It's off the charts. I mean, I don't know any other way to put it. I think folks are really excited. They're excited to be engaged and involved and to be around like-minded people.
Well said. All right, Denise, always great to see you.
Thanks, Todd.
And tell Tom I said hello
as well.
Great guy. So, all right, Denise Borelli, ladies and gentlemen. And it is going to be exciting as we move towards the 2020 presidential election. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. But one of the things that I'm hearing, one of the narratives coming out of CPAC, is not just this fight between communism and capitalism, but this is a movement to bring all of us together. No matter if we are wealthy people, or if we are middle class, or if we are poor, no matter if we are black or if we are white, it does not matter. We are Americans, and that is, I believe, the message that that is being shared and promoted here at CPAC 2020. Well, real quick, I want to bring in our next guest. He's been on the program a time or two. Our good friend Congressman Mo Brooks from the great state of Alabama. Congressman, how's it going?
It's going pretty well. It's a little bit testy back home. I've got a Republican primary in 3 or 4 days. You know how that goes. They will tell some people you're too liberal and other you're too conservative and just everything else in between. Up here in Washington, entirely different picture. Things have slowed down a little bit since the impeachment.
Congressman, looking at those races, and I know the folks in Georgia are dealing with something similar with Congressman Doug Collins in that Senate race. What is it that is going to drive voters to your campaign?
Well, I have experience. I have been in the United States Congress since 2010. I've built up seniority on Armed Services and Science, Space, and Technology committees that have influence over 40,000 jobs in my district. The big national public policy issues are deficit and debt, socialism versus free enterprise, and border security.
And you've been a Trump supporter.
I have, yes, sir, and I've been endorsed by President Trump in 2018 and in 2020. And his team was kind enough to ask me to be co-chair of their campaign, and I said, yes, sir.
Politics in Alabama is kind of like Auburn and Alabama going at it during football season. Right?
Quite often, except right now, the Republicans are on a pretty good streak.
A really good streak.
Yes.
It's pretty fascinating. And, you know, that is the message I'm hearing, you know, here at CPAC, is that people are ready for, they're ready for Election Day. They want to get out there and make a statement.
Well, in Alabama, we're going to pick up a Senate seat. We're going to remove Doug Jones from office. We're probably going to beat him like a drum by double digits, perhaps, somewhere in that ballpark. We have a number of good candidates running. And so, yes, we're very, very anxious for the general election to get here.
Congressman, we have about 20 seconds here. What's the message you want to send to the good people back in Alabama?
Well, in 20 seconds, Roll Tide for my wife and I, and War Eagle for my two sons.
Oh, that's fair and balanced right there. All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you coming on the program. We're running really tight on time and going to have to wrap things up here. Congressman Mo Brooks from the great state of Alabama. Folks, that is going to wrap up our coverage here at CPAC 2020 here on Radio Row. It's really been a terrific, terrific week. Some incredible guests. And I hope you know these folks have wanted to talk with you. They've wanted to hear. They want you to hear their positions and their issues. And it's been an honor to be able to host so many of our friends from around the country today. Also want to give a great shout out to our wonderful team, Caleb, our engineer, Avery, the call screener, JP, our awesome senior producer, Dalton Glasscock, the CEO of Starnes Media. Folks, get out there, have a great Friday, and whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.